Our reading today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give guidance to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Good morning.
There is a story that is told about Socrates. Socrates, you may recall, was the great philosopher. He one day was standing at the side of the road when he was approached by what he could tell upon first glance was a pompous young man. This young man had his chest puffed out, had his head cast back so far that, quite frankly, had a rainstorm have come, he was in danger of drowning. He was that full of himself, and it was obvious. He approached Socrates and he said, "Great and all-knowing Socrates, I desire wisdom." Socrates, without saying a word, took the young man by the arm, led him out into the sea until they were chest high, and said, "Now, what is it that you want?" And he said, "I want wisdom." And without hesitation, the very strong Socrates took his hands, placed them on the young man's shoulder, and pushed him under the water, and held him there for 30 seconds. And he allowed the young man to come back up and he said, "Now, what is it that you want?" And the young man sputtered and said, I want wisdom, great and all-knowing Socrates." So he pushed him back under the water again and held him there for 30, 35, 40, 45 seconds. And he came up gasping and he says, "Now, what is it exactly that you want, young man?" "I want great and all-knowing Socrates, wisdom." And before he could even get wisdom out, Socrates pushed him under the waves again. And this time held him there for 40, 45, 50, 55, 60 seconds. When the young man came up, Socrates said, "Now, what do you want?" And the young man screamed, "Air! I want air!" To which Socrates responded, "When you want wisdom as bad as you want air, you will be on your way to obtaining it." Many of us in life say, "I want to be blank. I want to be rich. I want to be younger. I want to be in shape. I want to be this. I want to be that." We name all these things, yet very few of us, can we just be honest, are willing to put forth the effort. Far too many Christians today say, "I want to be both godly and wise." Far too many say it, yet far too few, are willing to put in the effort to obtain it. This week has been super difficult, obviously, in our family. Typically, I am most often writing sermons based upon the events that are taking place in my life. So this week was a little bit strained because every sermon that I sat down to write, it had an overtone of a funeral being written. And I didn't want to preach a funeral to you all today. I've already preached one this week. I didn't want to do one this morning. So I sat down and I understood that we had to talk about the book of Proverbs. But can I tell you the problem that many have with the book of Proverbs? As we continue with our examination of the 66 books of the Bible where we're looking at the themes, we're making our way down Route 66. We're getting off at all of these exits. I'll tell you the problem that many have with the book of Proverbs. They say, "There's too much, it's too scattered, and I don't get it." Oh, sure. We know our pet Proverbs, don't we? "Train up a child in the way he should go, and what? When he's old, he shall not depart from it." We know that one. What about that virtuous woman? She is far more precious than rubies. We know our pet ones. It's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than in the house with a cantankerous woman, a nagging wife. Husbands, it bothers me how many of us know that verse. It's worrisome. I've even been told that some say that's their favorite verse of the Bible. That's troublesome. We may start doing a sermon series on marriage real soon. Maybe get that one going. But we all know our pet proverbs. We know those that we can quote off the top of our head. But for the most part, the book of Proverbs is one that we overlook in our day-to-day studies. We say it's too scattered. There's not enough coherency in what it's trying to say. I would suggest to you that that is an erroneous conclusion which mankind has been convinced into believing. The book of Proverbs holds a great number of wonderful life lessons for us if we will take the time to examine them. I once heard Proverbs described as a gold mine. Now here's the thing about a gold mine. Is there gold in it? Sure. But what do you have to do to get the gold mine? You can't stand outside the mine and say, "Gold, come out." Instead, you've got to go mining for it. The book of Proverbs is very similar to that gold mine. There are nuggets of gold throughout this book of Proverbs. Nuggets of gold that will help you learn to live wisely. That is the theme of the book of Proverbs. That's what God, through Solomon, is seeking to help us to do, is live wise and godly lives. So many times today, we as people, we're saying, "I don't know how to conduct myself in my marriage. I don't know how and what type of husband I am to be. I don't know what type of wife I am to be. I don't know what type of parent I am to be. I don't know what type of child I am to be. I don't know what type of worker I am to be. I don't know what type of employer I am to be. I don't know what type of Christian I am to be in the modern day world." We say that, but what are we doing to find the answers to those questions? Are we just going to all sit around and complain? "I don't know how, so therefore I cannot do." The book of Proverbs contains the answers to all of those questions, folks. You want to know how to conduct yourself? The book of Proverbs has those answers. You want to know how it is that what type of husband you're to be, how faithful to your wife? The book of Proverbs has that. You want to know what type of wife you are to be? The book of Proverbs has that. I'd suggest starting at the end and working your way back. That's a good way to do that one. The book of Proverbs contains a great number of lessons for us in terms of teaching us how to learn to live wisely in the world today. This morning, as we get off the exit here on Route 66 and we pull into the book of Proverbs, we do notice that theme, learning to live wisely. This morning I want to help you to see, using the first 7 verses of this book, I want to help you to see what it is that you need to consider and why it is that you need to read the book of Proverbs in some other context than just hearing the first 7 verses read in the worship service. I'd submit to you that the book of Proverbs wouldn't hurt to read at least a little bit of it. How often? Well, every day would be a good start. Every day. There's 3 things that I want you to consider about the book of Proverbs just quickly this morning. First of all, I want you to consider the responsible parties. First of all, I want you to consider the responsible parties. That is, I want you to think about who it is that gave us these Proverbs. Who it is that gave us more than 900 nuggets of gold, nuggets of wisdom that helped us to conduct our lives. Let's begin there in Proverbs chapter 1, and in particular we want to note verse number 1 to begin with. The Proverbs of who? Solomon, son of David. Let me ask you all this before we go any further. Where are you looking for your wisdom? Are you going to self-help books? Are you pulling up the internet? Maybe are you consulting Facebook, that paragon of virtue? Are you maybe one that believes that you can buy a good DVD series and it'll teach you how to be wise, how to be better at that which you want to be better at. Folks, I would submit to you that I can think of no place to accumulate wisdom any more than at the foot of a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon penned to paper and offered us these nuggets of wisdom on behest of God. And folks, Solomon himself was an extraordinarily wise man. As a matter of fact, over in 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4, in particular verse number 30, we're told something interesting there. As there God is extolling the virtue and the amazing wisdom of Solomon, He says that the wisdom of Solomon is so great that it surpasses all other men. Can you believe that statement? That's amazing, isn't it? We think of the great thinkers of our time, and we come up with names. For instance, one of the first ones that comes to most folks' minds is Albert Einstein. We think of his great wisdom, and we think of those other wonderful and great and deep thinkers of the day. Folks, Solomon surpasses them all in his wisdom. Yet we say, a DVD series sounds real good. Or we say, a self-help book on becoming a wise person in today's world sounds real good. Or consulting my high school buddies on Facebook, that's the answer. No, folks. Here we have the chance, the opportunity, to read the words of a man who the Bible describes as surpassing all others in knowledge. Now, here's another trap that we fall into in the book of Proverbs. We read that opening verse and we think, well, these are the words of Solomon. Folks, that's a problem when that's all we see. Solomon put pen to paper, but Solomon did not get his wisdom on his own. Solomon's wisdom and that which he imparts to this world that, can I just say it frankly, needs wisdom? His wisdom came from God. It was given to him by God. Again, if you've got your Bible, slip over to 1 Kings. We're going to go back to chapter 4 for just a moment. And I want us to notice verse number 29. Verse number 29, again, in this passage, really it's being talked about how wise Solomon really was. And there's a phrase in verse 29 that you got to see. God gave. Two words. God gave. Gave what? Gave Solomon his wisdom. Folks, this is not wisdom that Solomon obtained from going to Egypt University. He didn't get this sitting at the feet of the great thinkers of this day. He didn't even get this by following his father around the days when it was bring your son to work day. No. He got this wisdom straight from God, yet we shun it. We say, the book of Proverbs doesn't have anything for me. They're cute little pithy sayings that may or may not be followed. Folks, they are nuggets of wisdom that are being imparted to us by one who had his knowledge, his very essence given to him by God. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's see where that took place. 1 Kings chapter 3. Here Solomon is assuming that role of king. David is gone. Solomon is left in his place. And to say that Solomon was nervous, given the context of this passage, nervous would be putting it mildly. He was worried. He was concerned. What he was a young man. He was a young man who had great responsibility thrust upon him. And in a vision, the Lord comes to him and he is encouraged to tell him, what do you want? Now, a lot of young people at this point are going to say, oh, is that a blank check you're writing there, Lord? I'll tell you what I want. I want money. I want power. I want fame. I want cars. I want houses. Give it, give it, give it. Not Solomon. Solomon says that he is a young child there in verse 7. We'll come back to that just a little bit later. Says that he is a young man, unable to discern the good and the evil. He wants to be able to discern good from evil. In other words, he wants to be able to lead God's people wisely. Now the Lord says, you ask it, down in verse 12. You ask it, I give it. Folks, he gave him the wisdom that he craved. Brethren, when we read Proverbs, don't read this with the attitude of, well, I'm just reading some words that Solomon wrote down. You are reading nuggets of gold given to you by God. What does it say over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. Folks, not only that, but by the way, that verse goes on to say that it's profitable. That includes the book of Proverbs. Folks, when you're flipping through your Bible, don't skip past Proverbs. You say, I want to learn how to live wisely. Proverbs, because of the people who wrote it, is a good spot to start. But also, we'd be remiss this morning. We shouldn't leave this without examining and considering the reason for the writing. The reason for the writing. The reason is actually found right there in verse number 2 of Proverbs chapter 1. We're told there that it's got some big key words I want you to notice. It's got the word know, K-N-O-W, and it's got the word wise or wisdom in some translations, and it's got the word understanding. Folks, those are big words that people have lost sight of their meanings of today. Brethren, we are a people today who are woefully lacking in understanding, in conceptualization. We are woefully lacking in true, if I can just lay it right here on this table for y'all to examine, we're lacking in biblical knowledge. We are lacking in biblical knowledge. Folks, we have got kids that are graduating today and they are coming out with 4.0, and apparently there is a new thing where you can graduate with above a 4.0. Whenever I was in school, that may have existed, but I wasn't anywhere close to it, so I didn't have to worry about it. But apparently you can go with a 4.0 or higher. And they're coming out, and we've got a group of kids that are coming out of school now. They're extremely smart. Blow your mind away smart. They understand concepts that I still don't get. They understand things that I can't wrap my mind around. They're saying trigonometry, this, and chemistry, this, and geography and geometry, this and that. And I'm going, okay, good. And I still don't get it. Folks, the book of Proverbs, though, is here that you might gain understanding not of earthly issues, not of your calculus and your trigonometry, of your chemistry, of your Spanish test that apparently some in here may fail whenever they take it. Alec done. But none of those things are of a concern. By the way, everybody needs to make sure Alec studies for his Spanish test. He told us this morning he's going to fail it. None of those things are relevant to the book of Proverbs. Does it teach you a good work ethic to study at those things? Yes, it does. That's in there. But the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that is contained in the book of Proverbs is understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of God. How to follow Him, how to be more like Him, and how, check this out, to share Him with others. Folks, basic principles of evangelism are actually found throughout the book of Proverbs. Gaining and obtaining true wisdom. It reminded me, as I was getting ready for this lesson, it reminded me of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17. A lot of times, preachers, and I count myself as one of the worst about this, we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and our focus is always on verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We got it. We got it. We understand that phrase there, all Scripture is given, that's God-breathed, right? We understand that. But verse 17, if I can be so bold to suggest this to you, is oftentimes the overlooked portion of the program. I love how the ESV translates this particular passage. It's that the man of God may be competent. Competent. What's that? You've been given the Word of God that you might be raised from inadequate lowly, uneducated, to the level of competent. I'm going to tell you this, some folks are going to look at that and they're going to be insulted. I say, thank you, Lord, for understanding my weakness. Thank you, God, for giving me this book of Proverbs that I might make something more of myself than what I was before I began reading it. It's that next word, though, that catches my attention as well. That the man of God might be competent, equipped. Uh-oh. Now, equipping sounds like something that you do if somebody is expected to work. Christians, that's opportunity knocking at your door. You're expected to work. Christianity is not a passive activity. Christianity is not something that you do by showing up each week at a building, sitting in a pew, and having your name listed on a roll. Christianity is activity. It is going, it is doing, it is serving, it is helping, it is reaching out. And God, through all of His 66 books of the Bible, equips us to be able to do that. He equips us with the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding to be able to help not only ourselves, but those with whom we come into contact with on a daily basis. Why did Solomon write the book of Proverbs? Well, he wrote it by inspiration of God. But he wrote it that we might be competent and equipped to all good works. But third and finally today, I want you to consider the responsible parties, those who wrote this book. I want you to consider the reason why they wrote it, that we might be competent, that we might become equipped. But I also want you to consider the recipients. I want you to consider the recipients. I love when we flip through the Bible and we say, well, here's a passage. Boy, I need to get so-and-so to read this. That was written for them. Or, I need to get so-and-so to read this. That was written for them. Well, this doesn't apply to me, but it sure does apply to somebody, I'm sure. Folks, can I suggest something to you? If it's in that Bible, you need to know it. How about that? Does that make it clear? If it's in between those black covers there that you've got in your hand, or if it's on that phone that you're looking at, or on that iPad, you need to know it. You need to know what God has said. Who are the recipients of the book of Proverbs, though, in particular? I want you to notice there's actually a couple of really things that I found fairly interesting in getting ready for this lesson. Look there at Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to note, first of all, verse number 4. It's meant to give prudence to the simple and discretion to the young. Let's pause there. Can I be honest with you guys? We could spend the remainder of 2016 on that one phrase right there. Prudence to the simple, discretion to the young. Who are the simple? Who are the young? These are those who are still being molded, shaped, and formed into what they will become. Folks, what it's saying here is that the book of Proverbs is ideal for those who are trying to get their feet under them, who are trying to gain the wisdom that they will need, the prudence that they will need, the discretion that they will need going forward. The book of Proverbs, it's begging to be read. Young people, you're here this morning, you're saying, I never know where to start in the Bible. I don't know what to read. Proverbs. Open up. Read the book of Proverbs. It's got what you need to know. It talks about how when you get married, how you need to treat your spouse. It's got in there how when you get a job, and we need to get jobs, folks. Okay, let's throw that out there. Young people need jobs. When you get a job, it's going to tell you how you need to act on that job. It's going to tell you how when you grow up, and we want you to grow up, how you need to act as an adult. And by the way, adults, can I call a timeout just a second? Some of us would do well to reread that book as well. Because my fear is, we oftentimes tell the kids, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to become an adult. Let me ask you this. Who are they looking at? Who are they watching? You say, I don't know why that kid acts like that. Who are they looking at? What are they watching? This Bible, this book, this Proverbs, they are written for the simple and for the young. But I want you to also notice verse number 5. It's also written for the wise. It's written for the wise. Can I attach another word that perhaps some of us might be a little more understanding of? This would be the mature. Those that are, quote unquote, adults. Those that have grown up. Those of us that are doing our best to stay on which path, the right path. Whose path is that? God's path. Now, you might say, well, Rusty, but what about the fool? That answer is given to you down in verse number 7. You say, I have nothing to do with the book of Proverbs. Read verse number 7. Verse number 7 says that the fool despises wisdom and correction. Does what? Despises. Who does that? The fool. That's that individual who says, I don't need anybody telling me what to do and how to act. I don't need the Bible. I don't need God's Word. And I certainly don't need a preacher standing before me telling me that I need to read the book of Proverbs. I want you to understand, that's not Rusty saying anything about who you are. That is the Lord labeling right there. He says that the fool despises this correction, this wisdom. For those of us here, though, that are saying, I want to know more. I want to be more. I want to be wise. I want to know. I want to understand. Not trigonometry and calculus and geometry. Not those things that I haven't understood. Didn't understand them in high school. Don't understand them today. I want to understand who God is and what He wants. But I'm lacking. Can I tell you what the Bible says about that? The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 5, if any of you, how many? Any of you, who? Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives grudgingly, nope. Who gives stingily, no. Who gives selfishly, no. Who gives liberally, yes. And I like how King James reads here, abradeth not. In other words, he's not going to make fun of you for that which you do not know, but he's going to make sure that you come to know it. If you say, Lord, I want to understand patience, God's going to help you understand patience. Lord, I want to understand endurance, God's going to help you understand endurance. You say, I want to understand sanctification, God's going to help you understand that. Justification, He's got you. Propitiation, He's got it. Mercy, grace, faith, He's got you. You say, I lack, but I want. God says, come. Come to me, and I will give. Let me point something out to you as we begin to close today. We read two different occasions where He gave. He gave to whom? Gave to Solomon. Gave that wisdom. You know why? Because Solomon asked for it. Solomon understood there in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 7. He understood he was a little child, as he put it. Incapable of knowing when to go out or come in. Sounds like a kid, doesn't it? Not able to tell when to go out or come in. But can I tell you what else that sounds like? That sounds like some of us Christians in today's modern world. We're hearing some of these great debates that are going on around us. We've got the transgender issue. We've got the homosexuality issue knocking down our doors. We've got this issue raised by Washington. We've got this issue raised by a foreign nation. We've got this issue raised by town council. We've got this issue raised by a newspaper editor. We've got this issue coming up on the internet. And we say, I don't know, Lord. What do I do? And God says, you want to know. You want wisdom. I will give it to you. The book of Proverbs, folks, is a study in learning to live wisely. Let me ask you this morning as we begin to land the plane. Let me find out from you. Have you been living wisely today? You say, well, Rusty, I've been living. That's not the question I ask. I said you've been living wisely. Well, Rusty, I got a good GPA. I raised that thing. It's through the roof now. Rusty, I got a job and I've gotten a promotion already. That's great. It's fantastic. Rusty, we got our taxes back this year and we did so good. Wise living. That's not what I'm talking about. Have you been living a godly, wise life? If not, then today's the day to make a change. Today's the day to change things in your life. Today's the day to devote every ounce of what you've got in your life left to living for Him. You're here this morning, you say, I've never obeyed the gospel. That's where you need to start. You want wisdom? First wise thing I can tell you is obey, 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 obey the gospel of Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. They marveled at those unlearned, uneducated, uncouth fishermen that stood before them. They marveled at the wisdom that they brought forth, and they could tell that they had been in the presence of Jesus. And we're told there in Acts chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Folks, Jesus saves. He saved in the first century. Guess what? He saves today as well. If you're here this morning, you've never been obedient. Today's the day for you. You're here this morning, maybe at one time you were living obedient, wise lives, but you say, you know what, I got a little, can I use this phrase? Too full of myself. That happens, doesn't it? That happens. We get the big head, don't we? It's a disease that we all fall into at one point or another. You're here today, though, and you say, I want to make a change. Today's the day for you. This is the time, this is the place. If we can help you, if we can assist you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, in getting back to living a wise life, we encourage you. Won't you come forward now? As together we stand and sing the song of invitation.